All right, so let's imagine something here for a second. Okay, imagine you're on the school board and you're dealing with the aftermath of a real tragedy,
Oh, wow.
right?
Yeah.
And a generous donor wants to fund this beautiful mural project, you know, that's a way for the community to kind of heal and express themselves. It sounds great in theory,
Yeah.
right? But there's a catch.
Oh.
This donor has some very specific ideas about what they want to be included in this mural. And
Right.
some of these things maybe don't really align with the school's own message or policies.
Oh,
What do you do? This
yeah.
isn't just a hypothetical.
Right.
This kind of conflict actually played out in a fascinating legal case, Fleming v. Jefferson County School District.
Okay.
So we're going to deep dive into this case today. We've got
Right.
excerpts from the case analysis itself, and we've got some AI-generated summaries.
Yeah.
We're going to really get into the weeds.
Okay.
Understand this fine line between free speech and school authority.
So, what's fascinating about this case is that it actually stems from the Columbine High School shooting
Oh, wow.
back in 1999. After that just horrific event, the school wanted to help the community heal.
Sure.
So they came up with this tile project.
Okay.
So everyone could participate, everyone could create a tile,
Right.
and it would become part of a permanent display at the school.
A really beautiful idea, you know, the community coming together through art.
Yeah, but it wasn't that
Not
simple.
that simple. What happened?
So some families of the victims,
Okay.
they wanted to include religious messages or even like the names of their loved ones on the tiles.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Right, given the context.
Given the context.
But the school district, they had very specific guidelines, and these guidelines actually prohibited that kind of content.
Oh, wow. So right off the bat, you have this tension
Yeah.
between, you know, deeply personal expression and the school trying to control its message.
Exactly.
So did these families just accept the guidelines?
No, not quite.
What'd they do?
They felt that their First Amendment rights were being violated,
Okay.
so they sued.
Oh, wow.
And guess what? A lower court actually agreed with them.
Oh, wow. So a victory for free speech.
It seemed like it, right?
Yeah.
The court said that the tile project was basically a form of public expression
Okay.
and that the school couldn't discriminate based on viewpoints.
Oh, that's a pretty big win.
It was a pretty big win at the
Yeah.
time, yeah.
What happened next?
So it gets really interesting here.
Okay.
The school district appealed, and the case went up to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
And they overturned the lower court's decision
What?
and sided with the school.
Hold on. How could they restrict what people put on these tiles?
Right.
It seems pretty clear cut that people should be able to express themselves, especially in such a sensitive situation.
Right. And that's where the concept of school-sponsored speech comes in.
Okay.
So it's this legal doctrine, and it gives schools a lot more control over what's said or expressed as part of school activities, even activities that involve the community.
So I'm thinking about this for our listener.
Right.
If you're thinking about donating like a piece of art to your kid's school,
Yeah,
or
yeah.
participating in some kind of community project on school grounds, the school can have a say in what it depicts.
Yeah.
They can have rules guidelines,
They can.
and the courts have actually upheld their right to do so.
Exactly. Think of it like the school newspaper.
Okay.
So there's this landmark Supreme Court ruling, Hazelwood School District v. Kuhlmeyer, and essentially it says the principal can decide what gets published in that newspaper,
Wow.
even if students wrote the articles.
Really?
Yeah, it's all about maintaining that editorial control over the message.
So even though the community was invited to participate in this tile
Right.
project, the court saw it as more an extension of the school itself, not a
Exactly.
public forum.
Not really, no.
Okay.
They said, look, if the speech is considered school-sponsored, the
Right.
school has the authority to regulate it. And they had a few key reasons for classifying this tile project as school-sponsored.
I'm curious to hear what were the specific factors that really tipped the scales in favor of the school district?
Well, first, the project was directly connected to the school's mission of healing and rebuilding after the shooting. It wasn't
Yeah.
just a random community art project. It was very much tied to the school's identity.
So the context really mattered.
Context absolutely
Yeah.
matters.
Yeah.
And then there's the fact that these tiles were going to be permanently installed on school property. And that implies sort of an endorsement by the school.
Yeah.
It's much different than, say, like a temporary student art exhibit.
Right. It becomes part of the school's image
Exactly,
and
yeah.
environment.
So they have a vested interest in controlling it.
They do.
What else?
Well, the school was providing resources and staff to oversee the project.
Okay.
It wasn't just giving people blank tiles and saying, have at it.
Right.
They were shaping and guiding the process.
Which, again, signals control.
And that control really plays right into that whole school-sponsored speech argument.
It does, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then finally, the most crucial factor.
Okay.
The school had those guidelines in place.
Right.
From the very beginning.
They did.
Showing their intent to curate that content,
mm-hmm.
steer the project
yeah.
in a specific direction.
Yeah.
They were saying, we welcome your participation.
Right.
It needs to fit within our framework.
So even though it was a community project, they maintained that editorial control.
Yes.
That seems to be a key takeaway here.
It is.
You know, if a school's involved, even tangentially, they can exert a lot of control over the messaging.
That's exactly right. The court recognized that it wasn't simply opening up its walls for a free-for-all.
Right.
They were creating a platform with a very specific purpose mm-hmm. and therefore had a right to impose some restrictions.
But what about the family's argument that, you know, the walls of the school were essentially a public forum?
That's a great point.
Yeah. You know, because in a way, schools are public spaces.
Right. And the families did argue that
yeah.
they claimed they had the right to express themselves freely
yeah.
in this, you know, supposedly public space.
Mm-hmm.
However, the court disagreed.
Why?
They honed in on the school's intent.
Yeah.
They said, look, the school clearly stated its goal was to promote healing and unity with this project.
Mm-hmm.
The guidelines, the whole framing of it,
yeah.
showed they weren't just randomly opening their walls for any type of expression.
So it was more like a curated space.
Yes,
yeah,
with a very specific purpose.
Which gave them more control over the content.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that logic give schools the power to restrict almost anything?
Well, the court did acknowledge that there is a need to balance
right.
the school's authority with individuals' right to free speech.
Right.
But they ultimately ruled that the school's desire to control the message, in this case, outweighed those individual rights.
Okay, so what were the school's justifications for imposing these restrictions in the first place?
Right.
They must have had some compelling reasons, especially given how sensitive all of this is.
They did, and these reasons actually played a really significant role in the court's decision.
Okay.
One major concern they highlighted was the potential for religious debates
oh, yeah.
and controversies.
Yeah.
Understandable in this context.
Very understandable, yeah.
In the wake of such a tragedy, they wanted to avoid further division or conflict.
Of course.
Particularly on religious grounds.
Yeah. It's a reminder that even with good intentions,
yeah.
there's still the potential for, you know, disruption and further pain.
Absolutely.
So that was a key factor in their decision making.
It was.
Okay, what else?
They also didn't want the school to become a shrine or a memorial to the shooting.
Okay.
They wanted it to be a place of learning and healing.
Right.
Place where students could move forward.
Yeah.
And they felt that too much focus on the tragedy itself could actually be detrimental.
Right. I can see that.
To the school's overall well-being and recovery.
Acknowledge the past, but also move forward.
Exactly.
Create a space for the future.
Yeah.
Were there any other justifications?
Yes. And this one's particularly relevant to our listeners.
Okay.
They really emphasized the need to maintain a neutral and non-disruptive learning environment for all students.
Of course.
They argued that allowing certain types of content on the tiles could actually create a sense of exclusion or discomfort for
yeah.
some students.
Right.
Which could negatively impact their learning experience.
So they were trying to balance these competing interests.
They were.
Of creating a space for healing and remembrance.
Yeah.
But also making sure it's inclusive for everyone.
It's a tough balancing act.
It is a tough balancing act.
And one that I think any school administrator can relate to.
Absolutely. And this case shows how complex these issues become.
They do.
Particularly after something as traumatic as Columbine.
Absolutely.
And this case wasn't just about some tiles.
Right.
It set a precedent.
It did.
For how much control schools have over permanent displays
yeah.
on their property, even those with community involvement.
Huge implications.
Yeah, huge implications.
For how schools approach similar projects in the future.
Wow. So something that seems so localized, like a tile project, can actually have really far-reaching consequences.
It highlights the power of precedent in law.
Yeah.
And how one case can have this ripple effect across the country.
Absolutely.
What might seem like a small dispute
right.
can actually shape how schools manage free speech and community engagement
yeah.
for years to come.
This is a deep dive that's definitely got me thinking. We've covered a lot of ground, but there's still so much more to explore.
There is.
So let's take a moment to reflect on this, and then we'll come back and discuss these broader implications of this case in more detail. I'm particularly curious to get your thoughts on what this all means for schools and free speech moving forward.
That's a critical question and one that's more relevant than ever in today's world.
Absolutely.
We need to carefully unpack these issues and really understand their potential consequences for students, educators, and communities as a whole.
All right, we'll be back in a moment to discuss this further.
So what's really interesting about this case is that it kind of throws into sharp relief.
Okay.
This tension between two fundamental principles.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the right to free speech,
right,
which we often think of as, you know, pretty absolute.
Sure.
And then you've got the need for schools to maintain a safe and orderly learning environment.
So it's this real world dilemma that we have to ask. Like,
yeah,
how do you balance those two competing interests?
Right.
Especially after a tragedy like this.
Exactly. And it's not just an intellectual exercise either.
Right.
This has a real impact on how schools function and how students experience their education.
So for our listeners out there,
yeah,
you know, maybe you're a parent, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're even a student.
Mm-hmm.
What does this case mean for you?
Right.
You know, how does all this complex legal reasoning and all these nuanced arguments
yeah.
translate into the real world?
Well, the main takeaway here is that schools have significant legal authority to regulate speech, particularly when they can connect it to their educational mission.
So if a school can demonstrate that a certain type of expression is disruptive or controversial or even doesn't fit with their educational goals, they have the right to restrict it.
They have a strong legal basis to restrict it, yes.
So it's not a free-for-all on school grounds.
No, it's not.
Even if you're a member of the community.
Right. Schools aren't public parks or street corners where anything goes.
Right.
They're structured learning environments with their own set of rules and expectations.
But this case brings up some pretty big questions.
It does.
About censorship.
Yeah.
And the limits of free expression.
Yes.
Where do we draw the line?
Right.
How much power should schools have to control what students, teachers, even parents can say or express?
That gets to the heart of the debate.
Yeah.
And it's a discussion that's still ongoing.
Mm.
This case doesn't give us a definitive answer or settle this once and for all.
Right.
It really just gives us a framework for analyzing these types of situations.
On a case-by-case basis.
Exactly. Each case has its own unique context.
Right.
You have to look at the specific facts, the type of speech that's involved, the reasons the school is giving for wanting to restrict it, and the potential impact on the school community as a whole.
Sounds like a real balancing act.
It is a balancing act.
And one that I think school administrators have to navigate very carefully.
Absolutely. And that's why cases like this are so important. They force us to really grapple with these complicated issues and figure out how we protect individual rights while also creating this positive and productive learning environment for everyone.
So as we continue to dig deeper into the implications of this case,
what
are some of the key takeaways that our listeners should keep in mind as they kind of think about this complex landscape?
Yeah. One thing that really stands out is how much context matters.
Okay.
The court really recognized that the school's actions in this case had to be understood within the specific circumstances of this tragedy.
Sure.
What might be considered acceptable in one situation could be completely inappropriate in another.
So we can't take a cookie cutter approach.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's about really understanding the nuances of each situation.
Right.
And figuring out how to apply these legal principles thoughtfully.
Carefully.
And carefully, yes.
I think another important takeaway,
especially
for administrators listening, is the need for clear communication.
Oh, absolutely.
Schools have to be very upfront about their policies regarding free speech and expression.
Yes. They need to be transparent about what they allow and don't allow.
Yeah.
And they really need to engage in these open conversations with students and the community about these issues.
Especially when you're dealing with really sensitive or controversial topics.
Absolutely. Transparency and open dialogue are crucial for building trust and making sure that everyone feels heard and respected.
Even when there are disagreements.
Even when they disagree, yes.
This case also serves as a powerful reminder, I think, that schools aren't just places of learning.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
They're really microcosms of society as a whole.
They are.
Schools are where we as a society work through some of the most fundamental questions.
Yeah.
About our rights and our responsibilities, about how we live together peacefully,
right?
And about how we create a just and equitable world.
And they're often the battleground for these larger societal debates.
Absolutely.
Whether it's about free speech or religious expression, even things like dress codes.
Exactly. These seemingly small conflicts within schools often reflect much larger societal tensions and value clashes.
This case really drives home the point that law isn't just a set of abstract rules and regulations.
It's about real human lives, human relationships, and the choices that we make as a society.
It reminds us that legal precedents have real-world consequences.
Yes, they do.
They shape how we interact with each other, how we resolve our disputes, and how we balance individual freedoms with the needs of the community.
Exactly.
So as we move into the final part of our deep dive,
okay,
I want to explore the human side of this case a bit further.
Yeah.
You know, we've analyzed the legal complexities and the broader implications.
We have.
But we can't forget that this wasn't just some intellectual exercise.
Right.
This involved real people.
Yes.
Grappling with loss, pain.
Yeah.
And the desire to heal.
That's so important to remember. Behind every legal case, behind every headline, there are human stories, human emotions, and human struggles.
Absolutely.
And those are the stories that ultimately matter the most.
We've spent a lot of time, you know, talking about these legal precedents and the societal implications. But at the heart of it all, you know, this case is really about people.
Right.
Real people trying to deal with a horrific situation.
You're absolutely right. You can't lose sight of that human element.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't just about, you know, abstract legal arguments being tossed around. Mm-hmm. This was about families.
Right.
Families who are grappling with this profound loss.
Yeah.
Trying to find ways to heal, to move forward.
And they saw this tile project as an outlet.
They did.
For their grief, their faith.
Yeah.
Their love for the people that they lost.
And that's completely understandable.
Yeah.
They had this deep personal connection to this tragedy, and they were searching for a way to process those emotions and some sense of peace.
But the school's trying to find its own path forward, too.
Exactly.
Trying to balance the needs of all the students and create that safe and inclusive learned environment.
It really highlights that tension that can exist between individual expression and the needs of the community.
And it's not as easy as saying one side was right and the other was wrong.
Mm.
They both had valid points.
They did.
Which makes the court's decision even more complex.
That's what makes this case so compelling and so challenging.
Yeah.
It forces us to confront these really difficult questions about how we reconcile these competing interests, how we define those boundaries of free speech, how we balance individual rights with the common good.
Especially in a place like a school.
Especially in a setting as sensitive as a school.
Yeah. And it reminds us, too, that even when people disagree, even when there's conflict, it doesn't necessarily mean that one side is acting out of malice or ill intent.
Often it's just a clash of values.
Right.
A difference in perspective.
Yeah.
And finding a way forward requires empathy.
Understanding.
Understanding and a willingness to listen to each other.
This case wasn't about good versus evil.
It wasn't.
It was about two groups of people trying to do what they thought was best.
Exactly.
In a really, really difficult situation.
In a very difficult situation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I keep coming back to this question.
Yeah.
Could there have been a different outcome here?
Right.
Could the school have found a way to achieve its goals of healing and unity while also allowing for more diverse viewpoints on those tiles?
Yeah.
Or were those restrictions, as the court decided, truly necessary to prevent further pain and division?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a simple answer.
Right.
It's something that each of our listeners will have to ponder for themselves.
Yeah, based on their own values and experiences and understanding of this situation.
Exactly what might seem like a reasonable compromise to one person could feel like a betrayal to another.
And it's a reminder that these aren't just abstract legal or philosophical dilemmas.
No, they're not.
These involve real people.
Real people.
With real emotions.
And the stakes are very high.
They are incredibly high.
The decisions that we make about free speech, about censorship, about how we balance individual rights and community needs, those decisions have real consequences.
Real consequences.
For people's lives.
So we hope this deep dive has given our listeners some food for thought. maybe even inspire them to learn more about this case and the broader questions that it raises.
Absolutely.
About free speech censorship.
Yeah.
The role of schools in our society.
It's a complex and ever-evolving landscape.
It is.
But it's one that deserves our attention and our careful consideration.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week with another fascinating case.
Yes, we will.
That will make you think, question, and hopefully spark some engaging conversations.
Looking forward to it.
Until then, keep learning, keep questioning,
yeah.
And keep the dialogue going.